Everybody, it's Roger and James here from the Discingly Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Marvel's Avengers Infinity War, sharing our thoughts on it. Now, I'm going to be honest, we are going to go full spoilers. It's been out for a week and a half. We haven't had a chance to talk about it. We know we're going to just live it all over the place. So, kind of a review, but spoiler cast. We're just going to be talking about thoughts and stuff. So, if you haven't seen it, wait till you've seen it, then come back. And if you have seen it, let us know in the comments as well what you guys think as well. But let's jump into it. So, James, what were your thoughts on Marvel Infinity War?
I enjoyed it quite a bit. I think it was a fun popcorn movie. It had all the characters in it I wanted, except for Hawkeye. You bastards. And I'm assuming he'll probably show up in the next one. And it's what I wanted from this movie. We'll go into more detail in a bit, obviously, but I think that that question actually deserves two responses. And I think if you view Avengers Infinity War as a movie by itself without the entire Marvel Universe 10 years of backstory behind it, it's only an okay to good movie, kind of a Pacific Rim movie, just superheroes beating up monsters. But if you add in the 10 years, if you have been following even partially the 10 years worth of stories, then it is an excellent penultimate chapter to that.
Did you see the New York Post? They did a review, and they sent someone that hadn't seen anything, and they're moaning away about it being an advert for the other ones. The online community literally is like, I mean, if they want to clickbait and kind of get they got attention, but I think they got very much the wrong kind of attention, where people were like going, no, just get lost. This is, you sent the wrong, because it, I think then a couple of sites then sent people that didn't know, and even they were going, no, we understood what was going on. We didn't, there was a little bit of a pushback there going, oi, stop it. We don't have to have the origin stories for every single character at the beginning of every single movie. We're past that zone now. But for me, I'll be honest, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. The seeing everybody together, It just felt weird, because it's something you've never really seen on that scale before. I mean, we've been seeing the Easter egg after scene stuff for years, of little bits of crossovers. But to see everybody, you know, to be standing there seeing a scene with Thor, the Guardians of the Galaxy, and Captain America, you know, just having everyone together, and then you've got Spider-Man and Star-Lord and Doctor Strange, and it's just like, that was such a weird scene just to see everyone together fighting like that, because it's something we've never really seen on that scale.
Right, and I'll be honest, I could watch a 2-hour movie without all the fighting, with just all the characters meeting each other and bantering for the entire time, because some of the best scenes in this movie, you know, were Star-Lord meeting Iron Man, and them Star-Lord and Thor was the best scene in the movie, with him being jealous because Thor's hitting on Gamora and all that fun stuff. That was great.
Rabbits, you know, going.
rabbit, what? And just the interactions between all the characters, the ego clash between Doctor Strange and Iron Man, you know, Spider-Man still doing the, you know, complete and utter awe of Iron Man throughout the entire thing. And then all the other characters kind of showing up and doing their thing was perfect. That's all I wanted from this movie. And then they occasionally beat people up, or not people, aliens up. And that was certainly fun too. They had some very good sequences. The fight with Thanos, which had Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, Star-Lord, was fantastic. I was less thrilled about the fight in Wakanda, though. You know, or Gungan Battle 2.0, as some people have been describing it. And I will admit, while I was watching the movie, I was like, I saw this fight in Phantom Menace.
I didn't even thought about that till you said it. And it's just like, oh yeah, I can see that now.
You've got the energy shield. You've got the Wakandans with the portable energy shield. I know. I bet you if you freeze frame, there's like a little B1 battle droid wandering around in there. Like, I thought we were fighting giant fish creatures. No, that fight was a little bit off for me, but for the most part, it was very good.
Yeah, one of the things that really got me, and I think it's the one thing that stood out to me, was that at the end, Thanos sat looking at the sunset, or the sunrise, the title comes up, the lights go up, and the crowd. I mean, I can actually. It is that kind of thing of like, I've never seen a cinema react that thing of like half the people turn. There was a glass just a, you could just hear that, and people just looked around, and people were just all looking around, just and you could tell because it was that thing of. Just didn't end the way any half the heroes just been killed off, and he's the villains won, and the movie ended, and it just no one really you could just tell the audience was just like, what the hell just happened? That doesn't
Yeah.
happen in superhero movies. They always win. There was this
Well,
like gasp of just like, what? No, you can't kill off half the people and just walk away. And
apparently you can.
It just caught everyone. I mean, I've never seen a reaction in the cinema when a movie's ended like that.
Yeah, and I accidentally spoiled that for one of my coworkers because we were talking about Avengers. I knew that she hadn't seen it yet, and I don't remember. I'm offhandedly mentioned, oh yeah, an Avengers 4 is next year, and she's like, oh, okay, well that tells me plenty about what I need to know for this, and it's like, oh
Well, you would have
yeah,
known that. I mean, anyway, yeah. I mean,
you would have
we,
figured it out at the end of the
yeah.
movie, obviously, but this is something that's and it's not unique to Disney, but where we've seen this happen time and time again, where it's part one of a two-part or multi-part series, and you know, if you follow the news, if you follow the updates like we do. Because we have to for the site, you know it's a two-part movie, and you know this is part one of two, but it's never advertised as that. So the public is like, wait, what? What do you mean this is half the story? I remember when Pirates of the Caribbean 2 and 3 came out, and 2 ended, and people were like, the hell is this? And there was like freaking rioting as people, and like, but they said it was part 2 of 3 in all of the like news material, but people don't see that, so.
See, I always think like with the Lord of the Rings and the Harry Potters. I mean, the Harry Potters always tended to end on a note that kind of finished that story off. And Lord of the Rings is the only ones really that kind of felt like when that one ended, you knew you were going at the story, but you knew that going in that you had the three movies and it was going to be a story. Whereas I think this one, it just not only did it end on a, it ended on a massive cliffhanger, but it ended with essentially the villain winning. And half the heroes gone, and you're just like, that was not what I think. It just didn't end the way most people thought. I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't expect it to end quite as abruptly, and to end with Thanos just having this moment and being a bit like, he won. He completely won. I mean, we all know there's gonna be some reality shift, reboot of time travel of some kind, and everyone's going to be brought back. We know there's more Spider-Man movies. We know there's Black Panther movies. You can just anyone that just kind of whiffed off the into dust is coming back. What they do with the other characters that I mean, I just gotta go on that as well. The way they killed off Loki and was it Hyman?
Heimdall.
Hyman
Heimdall.
at the beginning. That set up Thanos. Thanos as badass. I still kind of sitting there going, well, Loki, you might not be gone. That could have just been a fake.
I kind of hope that it's not. I kind of hope that both Heimdall and Loki are gone. Not because I don't like the characters. I do like them both. And I think that Heimdall has actually been criminally underused because he's a really cool character. But I think it would cheapen both this movie and Avengers 4 if those characters absolutely came back. Because there still has to be consequence. And yes, we're almost certainly going to lose some of the Avengers who survived the let's call it annihilation wave from the Infinity Gauntlet. You know, some of them are probably going to die, and they're not going to come back. So I think when they do whatever happens, snap their fingers and return half the universe back, the people who were killed not by the Gauntlet but in other means will probably stay dead, except for Gamora.
Gamora is the one that I was a bit like, no, they're not going to kill her off because they need it for Guardians 4, but also primarily because she's a strong merchandise seller and female, and it wouldn't be and also maybe she's trapped in this soul gem. The only thing that kind of gets me with that is I never quite understand it, and we've talked about it a little bit in the Res Discord, was this thing about this obsession with killing everybody off. And personally, as a you know, it's like in the comic books, they kill people off all the time and they're always stuck in some weird dimension. I don't, and they, you know, Marvel movies forever killing off the villains. It's like, stop killing people off because it doesn't mean anything because you just reboot the movie anyway. And it, I don't, I mean, it is, I mean, I saw quite a few, I think like Boogie 928 or so, and he put out, like, someone tweeted at him and said, oh, I hear someone died in it. And he just replied back going, oh, that's so innocent after you've seen the movie. Of just like, you know, everyone's like, there's a character that's going to die in Infinity War. Like, after you walk out the movie, go, yeah, that was not really much of a figure at all, really, was it?
No, and here's the thing about that also. Well, there are 2 points there to address. One was Thanos' motivation. We'll come back to that in a second because that deserves a full discussion. Yeah. The second thing was the characters dying or disappearing into this soul gem, whatever it's going to end up being. I didn't feel there was much impact to any of them. They just kind of disappeared, with the exception of Spider-Man, because he actually got that Doctor.
So well.
Yeah, that whole Doctor Two, I don't want to go moment, and you know, Tony gets to watch him fade away, and that was actually an emotional one. But every other character, including
Bucky.
Scarlet Witch and Bucky and all them, were like, these are supposed to be major impacts. It was like, oh,
I don't know. When
that one's gone.
When Groot went. I mean, that was...
No, I was... Yeah, no, it was Teen Groot, and I don't give two craps about... Sorry, anything about Teen Groot. And it was not an interesting take on that character. I know what they were doing with him, and there were some funny bits, but I wasn't sold on Teen Groot. But let's get back to Thanos here. Thanos and his motivation, or at least his stated motivation, of balancing the universe to prevent overpopulation and overextending resources. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't buy that in the slightest. And yeah, I realize that you're not really supposed to, but at the same time, like, yeah, that doesn't make you a strong villain. It doesn't make you an interesting villain. You're just the latest in a line of idiots.
I'll be honest, actually. I think they did a very, very good job with this villain. I think they did a very good job. Because they showed his home planet, explained why. It makes sense of what he's saying. And, you know, that thing of being mad enough that it's what they need to do. And he's lost his home planet. His home planet is gone because they did it. The way they showed him with Gamora, it was an entirely other thing of how what he did on her planet, and then taking her in, and that thing of him crying with Gamora, they really kind of, I was like, yeah, it's like, you really show it. There's a different side to him than we normally see, and they're very normally one-dimensional, but they really add a few extra layers to him at that point.
See, yeah, I didn't buy into it at all. The Gamora thing, I was like, yeah, I don't believe for a second that you feel even a thing for anybody in this universe. You are you being Thanos, of course, being a complete sociopath. You don't know what an emotion is. I also don't think that his planet was destroyed in any way by the way he describes. I think he had a direct hand in destroying it. And, you know, if he really was concerned about overpopulation and underutilization of resources or underavailability of resources, he's got the Infinity Gauntlet. The other option, instead of destroying half the universe, is to just be like, hey, infinite food.
Yeah.
Infinite food right there. You're good to go. Infinite metal so you can build stuff. But that's not what he did.
Nah.
He's like, no, instant, half the universe is gone. Genocide.
But look at it this way. If it did happen, you could get on the ride to Disneyland a lot quicker. And the roads would be quieter. So, you know, he's got some good, there would be some good aspects to that. If it did happen, I just saw someone tweet about it the other day going, imagine if Thanos was real, you'd be able to get on the rides quicker. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, but you have a 50-50 shot of just disappearing into dust.
I didn't make it. It was going around on Facebook. You could, it's like, did Thanos spare me.me or something like this? I didn't make it. And people are sharing like images of like, if you made it or not. And it was just like, yeah, because I sort of said to Abe and sort of said to him, Abe, I don't feel so good.
It is amazing how many memes have come out of that, though, with the I don't feel so good and then all the other stuff. But, yeah, the Thanos as a character, as a built-up villain, all that stuff, it's really going to depend on how much you're willing to accept it, whether or not he has the capacity to to love Gamora in the way he said he did, and all that. And I didn't buy into it. You did. Everyone can make their own decision
The
on
only
that.
keeping
I'm
on the
not.
villains, the
Let's
Black
talk
Order.
about let's talk about the Black Order and I. Such a waste.
I'm
Such a
really
waste.
disappointed to kill them all off.
Well, I'm disappointed in multiple ways
I
with the
just
Black
felt they
Order.
felt way too CGI. I don't know
That
why.
was
That woman, like Pronoxa Midnight or whatever it is, just
Proxima.
why didn't they have her as a woman just with makeup?
Patton. Yeah, with the exception of the really big guy with the axe,
Yeah.
there is not a single one of them who could not have just been a regular human actor with some prosthetics and, a couple of them on stilts or something like that. The fact that they went full CGI with them was just awful. They looked terrible. And then, of course, they didn't bother attaching a personality to any of them
No.
except for the Maw. And now he was
Is
the
he
one
the
with
guy the he's the one
with the
face he
needles.
yeah
Yeah,
so
the needles, yeah.
he was kind of cool. I liked him.
Oh, yeah.
The big rock guy was a bit like, see, this is exactly what I said with reading the No Surrender storyline, which we're going to talk about later this week. Again, I said these Black Order characters are so generically just bland. I don't know who these are and what they're doing. There's no development. They did the same. I'm kind of sad that they killed them off, but it kind of gave the heroes that little thing that they were getting somewhere. I mean, the fact that they kind of got one of them got blended up in a meat grinder was a little bit interesting, but as a whole, they were a little
Yeah.
bit disappointing.
They were very disappointing. The Maw was the only one who had any characterization at all. They killed him off. He at least was entertaining because he
Yeah.
would do the whole preaching, "You are
Yeah.
going to be part of the whole of Thanos. You will be in death, the children of." That was really cool. I liked that. It was a great way of opening the movie, but after that, it was gone. The needles were cool. He was a good villain.
He felt like a threat. He actually
He
felt
felt like
like,
a threat, yeah.
yeah. The other
The
ones,
other ones were just like, meh, you got killed by a shield, dude. You're, I mean, like a literal shield, not Nick Fury,
I
but
did think the fight, like the where we had like, I think it was Scarlet Witch, Black Widow, and I can't remember the name from Black Panther, when they kind of had that like fatal four-way handicap thing going on between all the women. I thought that was kind of cool. I thought
yeah.
that was. I would have liked to seen a little bit more of that. I would have liked her to have been pushed a little bit more as a stronger female villain, because I think that was something that was good. But that was it. I was very surprised with the other villain that turned up at one point, which I just didn't see coming.
So
The
you're
Red
talking about
Skull.
the one in the skull. Yeah, the Red Skull was definitely a nice treat. It was not Hugo Weaving. I
Yeah.
did check the, but that wouldn't have made sense to have Hugo Weaving come in there just
He.
for that quick cameo.
Also, apparently, he's been really like negative about being in the movie and being in Marvel and not liking it. So it doesn't. And also, they just replaced him with a cheaper television actor. So.
Yeah, I mean that's fair. It was a nice touch though, having the Red Skull in there. He does have a
It's
connection to the gems,
like, yeah.
so. Yeah, and I was like, and they had him in shadows because, like, oh, this is going to be interesting. Who's this going to be? And then he pops out. I was like, all right, that was legitimately one of the cool. Plus, they gave him the whole like spectral ghosty look, which was pretty cool.
I just can't help but wonder if the end of it's going to be him and because it's like, don't kill him off, bring him back, let us have a Captain America movie with him and do a redo. Don't keep killing off your good villains. It's like you've brought him back, now use him. But also, you kind of just want it's like a thing of just like, yeah, bring him back, but don't, let's bring back Yellow Jacket, bring back a few of these villains and kind of let them have some time together. Don't kind of just put them in prison or in the raft or something like that. But no, just generally as a whole, that was a good surprise that wasn't really soon. There's a few other things like the Hulk. I love the fact that the Hulk wouldn't show up because he was afraid of Thanos because he'd got his ass whooped in the. And I love that. Again, that was a quick way of showing how cool Thanos a threat is. He kills Loki, he kills Odin, and then he literally just beats the Hulk in a straight up fist fight and sends the Hulk running. That's. It's been a little bit funny with they keep announcing new toys of him breaking out of the Hulkbuster, and it's like nope, that wasn't in the movie. And that whole scene of them running in Wakanda and the Hulk behind them, it's like no, that was they faked this out. They
They did a good job with that. And I mean, it might have been originally part of the plan to have him do that. We've certainly seen that happen before, Star Wars Force Awakens being a good example of that. But yeah, there was no Hulk after that, and it was well done.
Yeah, there was a few things I think like a lot of the characters got to have their little moments And they had, I like the fact that when they split up into teams, I think that helped keep everyone separate. It also means that they had a little bit of banter, but it was not too much going on at any one time. Keeping a few of the heroes out of it, I think, helped. Like Hawkeye, we don't know what's happened to him. Obviously, Ant-Man and the Wasp, I think that will tie more into the new movie coming out in July. So I think that makes a little bit of sense. There was talk, I mean, I was only reading yesterday, you know, they had talked about having like the Defenders and stuff in there in New York, but they felt it was going to be overflow. And I can see why now they took a few of the characters out, like Hawkeye and Ant-Man and stuff, because they just would have got lost. I mean, you just end up like Falcon, where he's barely in it, and even Bucky, they didn't really have a huge amount of scenes. They just showed up, made a few quips, and went. So I can kind of see why they went with that.
Yeah, as much as I would have liked to have seen the Defenders or even the Runaways or some of the Agents of Shield showing up, it would have been a bit much. It would have been a bit confusing, especially if Phil had showed up without any context, because he died in the original or died in the original Avengers. And if the fight or if a fight had taken place in New York, or part of a battle, it had been a worldwide battle and they'd fought in New York. Then, yeah, you could do a quick cameo with Jessica and Luke and Daredevil beating up aliens, and the just,
Leave
hey,
it at
they're
that.
superheroes. You don't need to know who they are, and if you do know who they are, like, hey, cool. But there was no fight
No.
in New York the way there was in the first Avengers movie, so it didn't make sense to have them.
There was a nice little scene at
It'd
the
be
end.
nice.
Yeah, there's a nice little scene with a little nod to Captain Marvel coming up in with her. I did actually have to Google because I didn't know what actually happened. It was like bringing an IGN video come up, going explain. I'm going, yeah, I didn't. I did. The logo didn't jump off at me that I didn't know. I usually find with the Easter eggs, I usually have to go off and kind of do a little because it's always a little bit more nerdier than even I know of sometimes. Usually I know who they are, but sometimes it's a bit like, I think that's a thing, and didn't really. I mean, seeing him disappear and stuff was kind of quite cool at the end.
So obviously I did know who it was, Captain Marvel, and there was a woman a couple rows back from me who like did a full fist pump and was like, heck yeah, it's gonna be Captain Marvel. And I was like, all right, I like you. But yeah, the number of people who've come up to me at work or who know I'm a big comics nerd, so like, what was that at the end? And like, oh, that's Captain Marvel. And like, oh, who's Captain Marvel? And like, oh, it's
Way too
Carol Danvers. And
much.
the number of people who are like, oh wait, Captain Marvel's a woman, is like, it's like, yeah, and she's a badass too. You're gonna like it because she is probably one of the most powerful heroes in the Marvel universe.
It actually now as well, like with Ant-Man and the Wasp and also Captain Marvel filling in the void between now and Infinity War. Because I to be honest, they could have started up Infinity War to point two after that a wee, and I would have been fine for another 3 hours. I could have kept going. But so we kind of got a little bit of a sidetrack with Ant-Man and the Wasp looks to be taking on maybe around the same time the movie's happening, they're dealing with their own thing. And then Captain Marvel was kind of going back in time. Whether or not
Nineties.
whether or not that helps do that. But then obviously we've also got Deadpool next week, or this week we've got Venom and we've got the X-Men. So there's a few movies coming in between, but it's kind of, yeah, it's gonna be hard kind of knowing that we've got a year to wait to find out what happens next. But I think as a lot of people said, sitting there, there is no way that Marvel are killing off all these characters and leaving them gone. There's too much money on the table. They own 9 out of the 10 movies. Black Panther, Spider-Man, it's like they can't kill them off. They need to make money.
Yeah, and I mean, this is kind of the same thing a couple years ago when Captain America in the comics was revealed to be a Hydra agent, and people flipped out. And you're just like, it's not gonna stick, guys. This is obviously just the beginning of a storyline. Yeah, he's going to be back to patriotic American pie, red, white, and blue within a year or two, which they did, obviously. But this is the same deal. Yeah, Spidey's not gone. Some of these other characters aren't gone. It will be interesting to see if Loki, Heimdall, Gamora, and whoever is offed in the next movie come back
Yeah,
as well. I'm
because
thinking
it's.
probably not, with the exception of Gamora.
Yeah, the thing is, and another quick side note, it's this whole thing. I mean, we probably need to do a whole episode about what we think is going to happen in 4 anyway. But, there's been a lot of talk about, oh, well, we got the original Avengers left and they're going to sacrifice themselves to. It's like, they are not going to sacrifice. I mean, I know the actors' contracts are up for some of them, but they aren't. Iron Man and Captain America and Hulk and Thor are too big a money spinners to get to send them all off into the midnight. Either they're all too valuable now. And as much as I like Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans and all, they're replaceable. These characters are getting bigger than they are now, and the brand of Iron Man is bigger than Tony's than Robert Downey Jr.
Right, and we've discussed this before,
Yeah.
and my stance on this hasn't changed, which is I have no problem with Chris Evans or Robert Downey Jr. or whatever retiring. I don't want them to recast Tony Stark. I don't want them to recast Steve Rogers. I do not at all mind if they put someone else in the masks, because we have a history of that. And I get that that will be a little bit of a tough sell for people, for people who aren't used to the comics, but that would be my preference, is get Bucky to be Captain America, get someone else to be Captain America, bring Riri in and do Ironheart instead of Iron Man.
Well, actually, to be
but
honest,
see.
I think Iron Man's the easiest one because Robert Downey Jr. can just do voiceover work. They can have Iron Man turn up in his suit in any movie, do a quick thing with his head, and he never has to. He's actually the easiest one that they can. He can
Yeah,
go
but
on.
he.
He can go on a lot long. He can go on a lot longer than Chris Evans doing all his weights and stuff. Iron Man can just he can just do his head. They don't need to worry about the rest of him.
Yeah, he reportedly hates doing those head scenes, though.
Yeah,
But you don't even need that. He could
just
get to the
torso.
point where the Iron Man suits are completely automated. You just need his voice, and you
Yeah.
just need his voice digitized, and
Yeah.
that's it. Or he could just be like, they're fully automated, and I stuck, Jarvis in there, so you can get Paul Bettany doing the voice, or whoever's doing the voice for Friday.
I still think
So.
like Paul Mark Ruffalo. I think he likes doing the Hulk. I think he likes
I think
doing
he
this, and
does.
I think he likes the money so he can go do freedom to go do other stuff that he likes. And also, I think Chris Hemsworth. I think Thor seems to be coming into his own now. Thor seems to be having a after that and Ragnarok. I'm sitting there going, this is a different Thor. This is so he's so much cooler, and he seems to be having fun with it. Chris Hemsworth seems to be having fun with it, and it's like he signed on. He's still in his prime. He isn't going anywhere.
Well, I think as long as they have the director of Thor Ragnarok involved, they can probably count on Chris Hemsworth to be involved. Because reportedly, the Russo brothers, the directors of Infinity War, had brought the script to all the various Avengers, and Chris read it. Chris Hemsworth read it and was like, "No, this is not the version of Thor that we wrote for Ragnarok." And I'm gonna horribly mispronounce his name, but Taika, the voice of Korg and the director of Ragnarok, he and Chris had rebuilt Thor, and Hemsworth was very defensive of that, and he wanted to make sure that that version of Thor continued on into the Avengers movies.
The only thing I think with that is I do wonder if some of that might have been because Thor Ragnarok was still in the process of being made at that point, so maybe the Russos hadn't seen that of what had actually happened. But
Right.
nevertheless, it's been a long one. Let us know in the comments below what you guys thought of Infinity War. I'd love to know your thoughts on that. We knew this one was going to be a bit of a long one because we've been waiting for a week to talk about it. As per usual, go check us out over at DisKingdom.com. Where can I find you, James?
I mean, heroiclegacy.com.
I don't know, guys. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.